You are listening to The Wizards of Oz, hosted by Isaac Egan, Rangor, and Rob CJ.
Welcome to The Wizards of Oz for September 2014. I'm your host, Rob CJ, and tonight I'm joined by the usual suspects, Isaac and Rangor. Welcome, boys.
Hey.
How's things been?
I'm really upset that Isaac didn't buy my free dinner at the GP.
Yeah, what happened there?
We went out for dinner, and my missus took us to a really cheap restaurant. Isaac could have just next leveled and got out of it for like $20, but he just like sneaks past and doesn't even do that.
I made the conscious decision to not do that because I didn't feel that it was appropriate. We bet a good dinner, and that was like...
It was a good dinner.
Oh, it was good, but the bet was for like a $50 dinner, and that thing was $20, so I figured that it was inappropriate.
I feel like you're not a proper grinder. I would have snap taken that.
Yeah, well, like, I'm not a piece of shit, so...
Well, you could have paid for fire as well, and that would have made it $50.
Yeah, well, if I was going to do it, then I was going to... I would just pay the $20.
I actually forgot that I had a dinner rolling until the next morning. I was like, he fucking got me. Missed my dinner.
I took off early, so you boys didn't end up going out with Jacob and Alex?
I never met either one of them.
But with us tonight, we have two special guests. We have the finalists of GP Sydney. First of all, James Zhang, welcome.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, good, good. And we've also got your opponent, the eventual champion, all the way from Western Australia, Paul Jackson, welcome.
Thank you, good to be here guys.
Oh well, I just realised that James was a finalist. I was wondering why we had him on this show. He's an awesome player, but I'm like, oh, maybe we had him on for some other reason. He's a finalist. I'm like, really? That's who PJXP?
Yeah, huh. We're just short numbers tonight, and he was the first one on the Skype list, so...
good job.
So let's go through some bios of you guys, because we haven't really done our homework, so we figured that we'd actually just get you guys to tell us. So start with James. How many Pro Tours, GP Top 8s?
Should we start with the champion? Banners.
Yeah. Always start with the runner-up, because once people hear the champion, they don't listen to the runner-up.
Oh, so runner-up first.
I've been playing Magic on and off for 10-plus years, starting Onslaught. Pro Tours, Hawaii will be my third, I believe. Can't remember because it was so long ago. I went to Pro Tour Charleston, which was a teams format, and that was really fun. And then went to Japan, Nagoya, Pro Tour Nagoya, I think. And GPs, I won GP Sydney and Melbourne or Brisbane, one of the two, back in 04 and 05. And then obviously came second this one.
Wow, that is a fair wallow. A while ago. Where have you been in the meantime? You've been playing?
It's been an on and off affair. I keep in contact. A lot of my good friends, obviously, made through Magic. We've still got a few King Beavers like Jazza and Gary. So, I've been kept in the loop on Magic. But, yeah, it's an on and off thing.
Right. So you're part of the Cryptic Commando crew that play regularly at Des's Playhouse?
Used to be Des's Playhouse, but he's shut his doors.
Oh, no.
Unknown reasons. So, yeah, that used to be a thing.
Well, what's Jack Ding been doing to make him close the doors?
Jack Ding. Jack Ding just needs to be himself, and that's reasonable.
Yeah, I've heard your name come up time and time again, but I can't remember ever actually hanging out with you.
Yeah, I guess I keep a low profile, I suppose.
It's all right, mate. I know who you are.
Thanks, Michael. But you didn't know even though I came second to GP.
No, I didn't know what you were doing, but I knew you were a good bloke. I thought we were having a good guy show.
Speaking of good guys, PJX, do you want to go through your profile?
That's why we were having PJX on a good guy show, because he is the jerk of all jerks. I love you, PJX.
Alright, well, I think my first PDQ win was Kuala Lumpur quite a while back, I think 2009. I also started playing in Onslaught as well, but didn't really start a bit more competitive until about, was it Kamigawa? And then I won a couple more PQs since then. So this will be my fourth PT I've been queued for. And I've just started playing more GPs lately and doing better and better. And obviously I did pretty good at the last one, so pretty happy about that. But no other top 8 GPs or anything like that.
Sweet.
So how did it feel the night, you know, that you won the GP?
Unfortunately, my other mate, he was in the finals of the Super Series thing. So he was versing Anatoly Lightfoot in the finals of that. And that took a while. We were all going to go out to dinner, like all the Perth guys. This was a good amount of us, like 30. We had cheap flights over to you guys. So it was like a 2-for-1 deal. So that's why we had so many guys there. But unfortunately, we were just waiting and it got too late. And then, fatigue kicked in and we just went back to hotel, got a feed, and kind of just relaxed.
So PJax, how did you and your uncle celebrate after the GP?
he wasn't there anymore.
I got a question for you guys. How many buys did you have?
James can go first.
I had two, only because I won LC or whatever they call it the night before.
Grinder.
Yeah, the grinder.
Oh wow, you actually played in one of those? I thought you were just supposed to register like 60 swamps.
Not quite. Or if I had pack rides, I'd register 58 or 38.
Some legend did that, I hear.
Yeah, I don't think you went too well, though.
I heard it.
In the second one, I won two matches, and the guy went to table flip.
Oh, geez.
Just to be clear, in one of the grinders, Rangor played 56 swamps for pack rat. And
and a 15 swamp sideboard. I realised after round one that I needed a sideboard to trick people. So for the second event, I had a 15 swamp sideboard.
And you actually won some games with that.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to mulligan?
Oh, heaps. Like, constantly. Like, I was doing mulls to 4 and shit. But there was one particular opponent who I won't name because I feel bad for him, but I beat him by turn 2 pack rat. And then I said, that's all right, I've got, like, the rest of the mono black in my sideboard. So I bought in 15 cards and then pull out 15 swamps and then proceed to mulligan to 2. And he's like, are you really just going to mulligan even though you don't have only pack rat? And I'm like, yep. And then I land the pack rat and he just cracks the shits and goes to table flip and I show him I just took out 15 swamps. So he wasn't very impressed.
You have to show him.
Yeah, of course I did. He was raging. It was like, here, buddy, it's 15 swamps.
Yeah.
PJ, how many guys did you have?
Zero. The last grinder in playing was you in, Isaac.
Yes, the last grinder. Once you wanted me to admit that I had organized a deck for her to play in the grinders because she wanted to just play the grinders.
Yeah.
And so I built her Dryn Planeswalkers. And then I decided that I liked the deck too much, so
I just played it,
and once you didn't get to play any magic for the weekend, and even more than that, I made her like line up and enter into GPTs to get the playmat. So,
I saw it with some 60 playing decks.
She moved on to 60 islands, didn't she?
No, she went 60 planes, and then a lot of people gave a crap about not choosing islands, and she's like, whatever. I don't care about your stupid islands.
Next level.
Look at Matt Rogers just running them back one after the other. He's in a players meeting and the judges are trying to talk. He puts his hand up and says, the next players meeting starting, so can I please have my play mat?
He got like 18 play mats or something. Wow. Like,
yeah.
And they, I don't know how many he got, but he got enough.
And they're crazy. John got one, and our editor, John, and he sold it on the Sunday on eBay for something like $75 to an Italian. I've sold mine for about $56. They're going crazy.
Yeah.
Do you guys like the idea of Lindsay handing out playmats in the grinders instead of at the actual GP?
I think it's better than what's been in the past where you have to get there really early and then line up for ages.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Then maybe still get a mat, because in Melbourne, people missed out on mats and they're there at 9 o'clock. And I think that's unfair. So I prefer this system.
So how come over in the US, the whatever GPs where they have like 5,000 people, everyone gets a playmat, whereas
here we have... Because that's Star City.
Because they're doing it out of their own pocket.
So that's Star City, and we've got GameCube.
In the vendor situation.
But the thing is, there's no perfect solution to it, but I think this solution's probably better.
I spoke to Lindsay, apparently he's going to have a similar kind of system, but he's also going to have like the other side event on the Friday, getting a playmat, so if you play in the Legacy instead of Grinders, you'll
get a good idea.
As well.
I like that.
Yeah, the it seemed a little bit harsh on the Legacy guys, because they obviously just play Legacy, right? They just play the Vintage all weekend, so they have no real opportunity to get a playmat unless they sign up for something and then just drop.
But at the same time, a lot of those guys don't play the GPs normally anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why shouldn't they be allowed to have access to a playmat?
So, you go buy and then you manage to win the thing. That's pretty fucking sick, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of magic, but it was good.
Let's just talk about the GP in general. And the GP really started the Thursday night, the night before the GP, at the Games Den.
Oh, mate. Like, it's my store, so I am obviously biased, but it was the most fun I've ever had before a GP. This place was raging. Like,
how many people turned up?
I don't actually know how many went through the night, but we had, like, 42 judges or something, 8 guys draft, and then the night started at about 4 o'clock. I think we had about 90 people through at the night because we fired 5 different events and there was at least 12 people per event. Yeah. And we didn't have many double rollovers from one event to the other. I think there was only a couple that did like an early draft and a late draft.
And of course, we had all the big names turn up. Jazza, Ben Seck, Patrick Sullivan, and of course, Alex and Jacob. They turned up eventually as well and they were great.
There's some video footage of those two got paired into each other round one of the Iron Man.
Yep.
And so they were most rules questions come from them because Hayne wanted to know exactly who got to trigger rip up what card and when because he had to rummage a golem or something. So, the place was really good. It went really well. There was minimum 15 people playing Wolf in the back room till like 2 a.m. in the morning or something.
And true to form as well, there was some crazy flipping going on with the Canadians. It all started with Dylan Brown trying to talk the boys into sending some box of, what are they, stupid cereals called?
So, before they came, I tried to arrange with Hayne to get Hayne to bring a box of Corn Pops over to auction.
Corn Pops,
Yeah, and so people went crazy. They were just going to outbid Dylan and eat them in front of him. We had one guy like, oh, I'm opening bid at $150. I'm eating that in front of Dylan. I want to watch him cry. And so there were other insane flips over the course of the whole weekend I heard about, Rob. There was Corn Pops flip between Dylan and Jacob, where Dylan flipped Jacob, and Jacob would have to send a box of Corn Pops across if he lost for a foil unhinged island. And Dylan lost the flip, so he doubled it up for 5 boxes of Corn Pops and won that flip. Then Alex decided to flip Jacob for the foil unhinged island, and Alex won. And then Alex went and flipped it for $100 worth of stuff, and then he got some other stuff and somehow got it into a Guru Swamp. So this one flip from Jacob ended up with Alex taking home a Guru Swamp somewhere.
In last episode, we're talking about how on good form Jacob was. This trip to Sydney, I think it's cost him more than an air flight. I heard they flipped for their appearance fees for the next pro tour, and Jacob lost.
Well, was that them too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another flip.
I didn't hear that. Jacob,
it was a flip that made him have to, like, wear some stupid hat for the weekend.
Yeah,
well, that was actually me and Jacob. That wasn't in the store.
Well,
I don't even talk about this.
Why are you? Let's just shut the fuck up, Rango.
Let's get
back to this GP thing, because it's kind of interesting. Yeah. All right, so pools. Day one, we'll start with PJX. What was your pool like?
it was just like green-black. Pretty deep, you know, just Advent, Haven, Midorite, Mystic, I think, and just a few bombs. I had Hornet Queen, obviously, which is really good. A bit of removal, and I was splashing red for Burning Anger at Nightfire Giant. And it was a good curve, so it was pretty much everything I wanted. Just like maybe a few removal short, but, you know, apart from getting the Soul of Theros, not much else you could ask for.
Yeah, straight. And you ended up going X?
I went 8-1, died to, like, triple Soul Guardian.
Fair. And James, how about you? What was your pool like?
My day one pool was, in three words, piece of shit. I ended up with three decks, green, white, splash red, which was what I played. There was also a green, red, splash white, and then there's also a blue, black deck, which I started in like half the time. So that's like 8 playables in every color. I got very lucky. Every round I was just counting on the round that I'm going to be out, and just never came. My opponents mulliganed a lot, mana screwed, and yeah, it was pretty lucky.
Yeah, sweet. Sometimes you got to get lucky.
That's right.
Tell you what, I had the worst luck in every single tournament that I played on that GP weekend. I don't know. I'm a bad player as it is, but you need to have a little bit of luck. Every single game that I play, I just felt like I got mana screwed or mana flooded. You got to draw spells, and I didn't see any, and something's just happened.
About time your luck run out, buddy. About time. You got to learn to play at some stage.
I'm going to trump you there, Rob.
Yeah.
Because I lost to John. So...
So you're saying that's much worse than losing to me, is it? I would say it is. I can't believe that you didn't have a draw. John always times out, so...
There's just every turn where basically, instead of playing Hornet Queen to, like, have infinite blockers, he's on, like, 4, and I have, like, a 3-3 Intimidate guy, but I've also got, like, 5 other dudes or whatever, so, you know, there's some... Instead of playing Hornet Queen, he plays, like, the green-green X thing, like... No, it's the Hydra or whatever.
Oh, Hydra.
Reveal the top X cards and then put it one permanent into play. So he does that and, like, in the fifth card down, he hits Frostwings and taps my Intimidate dude down. Like, it was just, it was next so level. Good. Like, it was next level. Like, I'm sure he wasn't aware of what he was doing, but it was correct.
He was. I love how you added that. I'm pretty sure he didn't know what he was doing.
That is correct. He's playing it correctly. That is. Like. I think he was just excited because he's just like, yeah, I'm wrecking you with Hornet Queen, because he bounced it as well. Like, he peeled from reality. he's just like, I'm wrecking you with this bomb, but I've also got this bomb. That was good.
So I absolutely went to the shakes in the last round of the day to make it to day two, and Haynes standing behind watching me, and I turn and I see him there, and I think, oh geez, like, I don't want to look like some shitty scummy dude, and I start, like, I'm focusing and I'm playing really well, and then I attack and I've got an Intimidate die, and my opponent's like, yep, so I take it, I go -1, and I'm like, no, you go to 11. And my opponent's like, what? And we start arguing about what the life total is, and then we call a judge to try and work out how we've got a 11-point discrepancy or whatever, and then Hayne asks to talk to the judge away from the table, and then the judge comes back and says, okay, so you, sir, have 2 life total columns for every attack that you've made on your opponent, and you have this column here and this column here, and you need to merge them together. I've been attacking my opponent, and, like, you go to 18. Now you go to 18, now you go to 16, now you go to 15, now you go to 12, now you go to 12. Like, one column to the other, backwards and forwards, for like 5 turns. And my opponent hadn't noticed because we're still writing it down. And I won.
And so, played in a Pro Tour.
I also had the no blocks guy, which was my favourite thing of the entire GP. I'm dead on board, he plays a massive... The 6/6 worm thing, if it dies, you take 6 or whatever. Yeah, the Doom Engine. It's not a worm, but it should be. So I have no out at all, and he's on 6, and he's on 8, and I have 8 power. So I just attack, and he says, no blocks, and I'm like, okay. Do you take the damage? He's like, yep. I'm like, so you go to 0? And he's like, yeah, why didn't I block? And I'm like, I'm not sure. The Doom Engine says that I can't block with my creatures. You can. Like, he doesn't block my weenie at all. It just takes it.
So, James, were you X2 or X1 at the end of
day one? I was X2 by the end of day one.
Sweet. So then, what were your draft records on day two?
I went 501.
501. PJX, are you the same?
You had to top 8.
I went 5. What was it? I went 3 and then... No, I went 4, double draw.
So what were your draft decks like? Which was the best one throughout the day for you?
For me... I don't know. I thought none of my decks were spectacular, but I think overall our draft card quality-wise was pretty average.
In the top 8?
Yeah.
My best draft deck was probably the second one on day two, was a mono white with triple charger.
Oh yeah, cool.
So that was pretty strong.
And you only had to play one match, and then you double it. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I think I have a good chance with this deck.
Yeah, sweet. What's the stress levels like when you're drafting in top eight? Is it just another draft, or you know, a little bit more pressure?
Personally, I didn't feel much pressure because I felt like I was free rolling the whole day, the whole tournament actually. Yeah, started like on the day before where I had a really good pull and managed to win the
grinders.
Yeah, that's it. And then had a really bad pull and couldn't believe I topped day two. So yeah, it was just smooth sailing, I guess.
Until you got to the finals.
Yeah, and then I just got my ass kicked. So.
How many major like top eight drafts have you done before this in other events? So you said you won GPs earlier. Were they limited GPs?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the one back, there was one extended and one limited. Limited was Time Spiral 1.
Huh. That's where I quit. Oh, man.
So that's why I won that GP.
Yeah,
because PJ's quit.
So how much preparation did you put in leading up to this GP?
One draft, two drafts?
Actually, quite a few on Murder. The week before, I think I picked it up, picked up Magic again the week before. Did about, I'd say a good 5-6 drafts on Murder.
Yep. And you finish, like, did you exceed expectations with your finish, or you felt like you belonged in the top eight?
No, I definitely didn't feel like I belonged, especially not after the pool that opened on day one. But the last few GPs I've tried, ever since I kind of came back from a bit of a break, was all disappointing. I didn't day two the two of my last GPs, and coming to this one, I was saying to my mates that if I day two, it'd be a good result. So definitely didn't expect this.
Right.
Yes. Right.
And what about events leading up to this GP? Had you been playing much at all, or just pretty much when you picked up Moto, that's when you picked up Magic again?
Yeah, I haven't played at all before that.
Okay.
I was occupied with other games.
Hey, Jax, what about you? How much prep did you put into this one?
Yeah, a bit, I'd say. Oh, yeah, a good amount. I did about 20 drafts all up in real life and Moto.
Yep.
Just a bunch of sealed as well. And, yeah, I was just doing stuff on my phone. Like, I was visually looking at the spoilers a lot, so I'd know everything. And just, yeah, it was. And then, yeah, I felt really prepared for it. So it was good.
Sweet.
So realistically, before the GP, what were you hoping to achieve?
Top eight. So realistically.
Yeah.
Frick White's pretty sick.
It is.
Yeah. I was like, be pretty sweet to top eight this one, with the new change being, you know, if you top eight, you get qualified for the next Pro Tour. So.
Yeah, I didn't even know about this leading
to the
up
top four. Yeah.
I don't think, because Saito lost in the quarters, and he looked really disappointed until someone told him that all top eights qualify now, and then you look really happy, so I'm guessing you probably didn't know as well.
Wasn't that really unusual that we had all those, that Asian contingent come over when there was a GP on in Japan at the same time?
Yeah, it makes sense from Saito's point of view, because he obviously wants to get back on the tour. He was really close to Hall of Fame, and, you know, it makes sense for him to naturally gravitate towards the easier competition that we offer.
Yeah.
It's getting harder. Jeez, you're getting so many more people to these GPs.
Yeah.
Extra rounds on day one. Like, I thought it was like, it was nine rounds, wasn't it, in the end?
I struggled with the extra rounds.
Yeah, I thought it was eight rounds, and so I thought I'd made day two when I was 6-2. I was like, sick. And then somebody was like, there's an extra round, bro. And I'm like, oh.
Isaac had already gone home. He's on the way out the door. Got this shit. Woo!
That's what I was going to say. I don't know what you're talking about. This is still a 5-round tournament for me, so.
5 rounds?
What are you doing playing 5 rounds?
Oh, it's just trying.
He had 2 buys because he won a Gosford trial or something.
No. Listen, I started off 0-2 and I clawed back to 4-2, I think, and then I just bombed out, so wasn't happy.
I was 0-2 as well. So not 0-2, but I had no buys, and then won through.
And I think all our international guests, they all bombed out early as well. Alex didn't make day two. I think Jacob made day two, but...
No, Alex made day two, didn't he?
No. No, I'm pretty sure he bombed out. Yeah, that's right, because he wasn't even at the venue on Sunday.
He was doing well on the Saturday. Maybe he lost the last couple.
Mm. What was your toughest match that you had over the weekend, Paul?
I think, to be honest, probably my finalist, James. He definitely knew what he was doing. Like, I could just tell with his play that he was at a level where certain people weren't in previous rounds. But the toughest match was probably game two in the semis against Matt. That was a pretty grindy game.
Yeah, we had an epic game with Spectre Award where I played it three times.
The same one?
The same one, yeah. I played it and killed the guy in response. Then I attacked, but he naturalized it. I ended up peeling my Boonwaver Giant and getting him back for the third time and killing him. Just before he would kill me. Like, it was an epic game. Like, it was...
Boonweaver's so good, right? That was my soul for day one.
Yeah, I didn't really like it in my draft deck, but I was like, it's fine with special one, obviously, but I don't think I'd ever play it in draft without it.
Yeah. That won me a lot of games on day one, so I called it my soul.
Did you have Ward?
No, I didn't have Ward. I only had plus two vigilance.
Oh, okay.
Just gonna get stabbed.
Yeah.
This was my day one sealed. It was that bad that card was winning me all the games.
I think it was 16 vigilance.
Yeah.
Look down. I want to find out a bit more about Paul, because you're from Western Australia. You're the first person we've had on the show from Western Australia, and like I know absolutely nothing about the magic scene in Western Australia.
No one really does.
Well, basically, Rob, think about Gosford, and then just put it on the other side of Australia.
Well, the only difference there is that Gosford doesn't get pro tour players. So, tell us a little bit about the scene.
It's definitely got a lot bigger and a lot more competitive over the last year, just because Good Games has opened up in Perth, and it's really brought out the community.
You represent Good Games, yeah? Like, you were a JJ station, is that right?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Good Games, St. James. So I would say if it wasn't for them, our community wouldn't be nowhere as near as what it is now. So, yeah, obviously the last GP, we had two players in the top eight, Ash and Craig, me and this GP, so it's definitely working.
Sweet.
I tell you what, when I saw that on the Good Games website that Good Games St. James had just opened up, I thought, geez, they just opened up Good Games Town Hall. Now Good Games St. James, they're just, you know, across the road from each other. That's a bit close. Yeah, it took me a while to realise, no, Western Australia. sweet. So what other players from Western Australia should we be looking out for?
Anthony Lee, Luke Williams is all right. You know, then we got a few other... decent ones. We've got Sean Racing. I'm sure there's a few more that I haven't.
Do you guys have any big events or anything? Because, like, you don't get any PTQs or anything like that, do you?
They do when they steal it.
No, we do. We have one coming up, actually.
Missing ones.
Oh, okay. Doesn't get them.
Yeah. We have one coming up. Do we? That'll be our last one for the PBTQs or whatever.
Yeah.
We're trying to put the Super Series qualifier. We just do a, you know, St. James kind of thing where we have to qualify for the big tournament.
Right.
This will be the last year we're doing it, though, because of obviously the new system allows us to do more tournaments that are more relevant, so we'll just do that. But, yeah, and we've opened a second shop up in Perth already in Rockingham, so that's pretty cool. We have two stores now.
So how many players, like at a typical, say, pre-release, how many players would you get?
Look, I can tell you that we got the most numbers out of all the GGs in Australia.
Sorry?
We beat. So it's pretty crazy. I can't tell you exactly how many, because, jeez.
What are the numbers actually like, PJX? Because, like, comparing, a lot of the other GGs compete with each other. So if you compare them with the stores that don't take from their own player base, what sort of numbers are you getting?
Right. We'll just say for FNM, anywhere from, you know, 50 to 60.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, so they normally do a draft, and then they sell out on standard, you know, and the place is always booked out.
Yeah, that, it's really like the cities that don't have a huge amount of jam-packed, like don't have four or five good games all next to each other, are doing really, really well. Like up in Brisbane, they have 70-plus FNMs, and you guys are obviously getting 70-plus FNMs. Pretty sure Melbourne gets really good numbers for FNMs.
Yeah.
Sydney, like, Lindsay gets a really good pre-release of, like, 60s, 70s, but all the other Sydney stores just get 30s.
Oh, okay.
That's why, like, when you said, oh, we're better than all the good games, I was like, oh, I need a comparison to actual dollars. Yeah, because when you've got five in a train track area of 20 minutes, it's hard to compare.
They snatch each other all up, yeah.
If there was just one there, they might actually be having 100 people.
Yeah. I think we got, like, you know, 70. Yes, about 70, 80 for each one.
And do you know if there's anywhere else in Western Australia where they play? Or is it just basically centralised in Perth?
It's two good games, right, in Western
Australia? Yeah, there's two. Yeah, it's in Rockingham, so it's a bit up. I think it's... Oh, jeez, yeah. It's like... They're about 45, 50 minutes away from each other. So
okay, just in the area.
And there's nothing in the heart of Perth, is there? Like...
In the city or something? No, they have tactics, but that doesn't really... It's not really a thing anymore.
Oh, okay. So if I go to Perth, I've got to go travel out to the suburbs to play.
If you want to, like, see all the players and stuff. If you just want to go casually with, you know, and there's going to be, like, 10 people there or something, you can go to tactics in the city. Cool. But it's not even comparable. Like, it's just not good at all, really, down there.
How often do you get out and play... locally now, James? Like, do you play FNM at all?
No, I haven't for a while. Yeah, I must admit I've slacked off a bit. And, I used to play the pop a lot stuff. I've been giving that a break as well. So.
You're going to be playing one of the upcoming pop a lot events, because this is a good time to talk about that, Wrangle.
Yes, Sunday, September the 28th. Pop a lot inside the game stand. Inside the game stand. And the Saturday is the Winner Beta Mox Highlander event, which I think you're coming up for, Isaac?
I have,
you are, because otherwise I'll come get you.
Well,
and bring you up here in the back of my boot.
Well, he did say it was either the Mox or the GP, and he turned up to the GP, so.
Then it became Rango's wedding or the Mox. Because that way I could justify it to Rango and say, well, if I come to your Mox tournament, I'm not coming to your wedding.
I should have just said, I'll come to the Mox then.
Only booked twice, but.
Well, no, see, if I had said come to the Mox, I'm pretty sure Wanchin would have been like, no, you're going to the wedding. I should have just put it out there that you should have gone to the Mox and let you deal with the rest at home.
Yeah. Who do you reckon it's suffering more? Like, I just contact Maya and say, oh, heads up, I can't come to your wedding because Rango's making me come to the Mox event.
That's fair enough. He needs numbers, so. So, James, you said earlier that you qualified for Pro Tour Charleston. When was that?
That was going back a while. I'd say, I'd have no idea. 5 years, 6 years.
Must be
horrible. Anywhere between 5 years ago and 10 years ago.
Okay. And you said it was a team event. Like, how does that work? Do you qualify as a team?
Yeah. It's pretty awesome, actually. I don't think they do it anymore. I think for us, it was a standard team tournament, so we qualified as a team, and then I think Jazza, Dominic, and Winston, those guys, they knew that we qualified, so they tried very hard to qualify as well, right. And they ended up going to, I think, either Brisbane or Melbourne, end up winning the thing, coming from, and there was a funny story behind it, because apparently they got the times all mixed up, so they arrived at the event like an hour late.
Yeah.
So they managed to get into the event, but they were like 0-1 down. And then they came back from that and ended up winning.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
So we ended up having six of us going together to Charleston. So that was pretty cool.
When you say the six of you, who was on your team?
My team was Team He and I think Gary Wong.
I'm pretty sure that Melbourne PDQ, the Team PDQ, Dean Villanueva, managed to lose every single one of his matches. But still qualify for the Pro Tour because his teammates both went like 2-0 like every year.
Their shoulders must have been sore.
But then like one of them couldn't go to the Pro Tour, so.
That's a shame.
So what happens there if one of you can't make it? Just all of you miss out.
I think back those times they didn't have fights, So you actually had to pay for your flight over.
Right.
So everybody in the team got like $375 US or something like that.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, you just got your cash either way, and then you had the invite and you chose to go or not.
Okay.
Actually, there was also a funny story at that pro tour involving Dominic Lowe. He basically fell asleep during one round. So
we got Jado. Was he playing against John Gower, was he?
I'm not sure, but so we've got Jada and Winston battling it up against two opponents, and then we got a no-show in the middle seat. So that was like round five at the Pro Tour, and they ended up missing out day two by like one match. So yeah, good on you, Dom.
So he just didn't rock up to the match at all, or he fell asleep?
No, he fell asleep on the bench. He didn't wake up in time.
Oh my god.
That's when you need a team manager, like has been proposed before. Yep, like, team manager Wanchen could have gone, found sleeping Dom, got him, woke him up, brought him to his match.
That's right. Yeah, we didn't have that luxury.
I also wanted to ask you, James, last year you were at the centre of the Melbourne WMCQ controversy. Just remind our listeners a little bit what happened there. But what was the follow-up? Did you find anything out from Watsy?
I haven't. And
seriously,
I haven't, yeah. I think from their point...
What happened? Just remind our listeners again what happened.
Okay, yeah. So basically, I came back to Magic and I was taking it pretty seriously. And then, so I went up, flew down to Melbourne with a few of the other guys, and we played in the WMCQ. And I made it to the finals. I made it to the semis. And then there was a Angel of Serenity trigger in one of the games against Riley Knight, where at the time I didn't know how it worked. So basically I had Angel and one of his creatures was under it. He raffed. And then I didn't know it was my responsibility to remind him, because I guess logic dictates that if it's his card, he should be the person that's... Well, that was my logic at the time. Obviously, it's incorrect. So I won the match eventually. I think someone in the crowd, someone from his... One of his mob told the judge, and then retrospectively, the judge decided to DQ me for cheating.
It's okay. You're allowed to do that in Sydney. Like, it's totally acceptable to do the mistrigger and then lie to a judge about it now. So you should have just...
Oh, really? Sweet. Well, yeah. Good to know.
There's a pretty big part here that James didn't lie to the judge. Like, James, you know, decided to tell him, yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't let him, like, I didn't remind him that he had to put his...
I announced something to that... To that effect, that ended up incriminating me, but it seems silly because why? I mean, you know, if anyone who knows me knows that I don't, I tend to not say much during matches, and it will be pretty silly of me to kind of blurt out something knowingly, you know.
It was obvious that, like, I can't see you ever getting actually banned for it, but, like, because it was, you know, it was. You know, you just weren't aware of the fact that was your responsibility.
Yeah.
When the judge asked you, you just straight up incriminated yourself.
Yeah, so exactly. Why would you? It's like the judge asking, "Did you just cheat?" And I just said, "Oh yeah, of course." You know, like it just doesn't make sense. But that's the way they saw it. And yeah.
Well, we'll just assume that they haven't got back to you, that you've been acquitted, so that's awesome.
They haven't gone back to me, and I think that was part. Like, to be honest. You know, it makes sense, you know, just because the WMCQ has already been awarded. What can they do for me, really? Yeah.
Yeah, so they just have a look at it and say whether, you know, it was appropriate to ban you. And the fact that they haven't means that they decided that it wasn't appropriate to ban you. So I'm sure that you won't hear anything about it.
No. You must have been pretty disappointed, though, because you were actually shuffling up for the final, weren't you?
I was shuffling up to for the finals against a good friend that also made it to the finals, and then in the end someone else won. So it was like, you know, it was like
double whammy.
James and David shuffled up for the finals, and then Riley Knight ended up winning. So
yeah.
Didn't make much sense, but anyhow.
And then Riley gave a speech.
that was rubbish.
And then he wouldn't leave and go home.
I tell you what, I've been wanting to win something ever since. I haven't actually won anything since Riley did that, because I've been wanting to, like, actually make a speech and then thank Riley Knight for setting a precedence of being people being allowed to like have speeches after wins.
Don't do it, dude. I like you, Isaac. Don't
do it. I'm going to do it. And especially now that you've said that, Rangel, if you're there, it's happening.
If you're winning an event and I'm there, I'm probably drunk. Yeah, so you're risking it.
Talking of the WMCQ, we had the Sydney WMCQ and PTQ played out a fortnight ago. Who ended up representing Australia at that one?
James Young.
So what do we know about him? Other than the fact that I watched him go from one table to another and he had a backpack on and he just charged me out of the way and nearly knocked me over.
Who knocked you over? Oh. If that's who knocked you over, so Rob came to me and said, this guy swung his bag around and knocked me over. And I said, just push back through him. I didn't realise it was him. If you see James Young coming at you, get out of his way, Rob.
Charging right over income.
It's like, yeah, you get in front of me, it's your fault. You get in front of him, it's your fault. He's hiding where he's going. Like, that's ridiculous. That's your fault, Rob.
But anyway, what do we know about James? What's his background?
He's a good bloke. He's all right. He's a nice guy. He gets really serious, though. Like, he got cranky because I tried to tell him to use my token when he was on the feature match. And he goes, I'm concentrating! And then later I was like, whoa, bro, I was asking for a favor. He's like, do you know what? I realized later that it was your token. I just wanted people to go away. And I'm like, fair enough. He's like, I wanted to win. But he's like, yeah, he's a good guy. So
who is the team so far? We've got Jazza. And who won the...
Justin Robb.
And Justin Robb. What do you think?
I would hope that this team this year is shaping up to listen to Jazza. And so I would hope that Jazza steps up and finally understands that what we've been telling him for the last 3 years. And just takes a leadership role.
You haven't heard the conversation that we had with Jazza. We had a sneaky one after you had to leave.
Yeah, I didn't have to leave. I don't know what happened there, but I heard it when I listened to the show.
Yeah, so...
I was like, when did you just record that? You're like, oh, get drunk, get rid of it. Because I'm like, I don't remember this shit.
Yeah, you have to go. Like,
have to go at all. I was in an empty store waiting for customers to arrive.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We wanted you to go. Is that
Yes, that's the truth.
Why do I suddenly feel awkward? but anyway, so
Jazza just needs to step up and lead these guys, because I think both these players can bring to the table is that they would be willing to listen. It appears to me that they would accept guidance from a more experienced guy and that they would be willing to take on what Jazza says. So I just hope that this year Jazza says, all right, I've got a crew that's going to listen to me, not inbred monkeys that are going to fight with each other and throw feces at each other and step up and lead the way. So there's the call to you, Jazza. Take the reins and show these two both seem like decent guys and teach them.
And we got the WMCQ down in Melbourne on Sunday. So
let's just hope you don't have a feral monkey win it.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that whoever wins it gets to make a speech at the end of it.
Well, I'm not coming, so you can do what you want.
No.
I'm quite happy for a feral monkey to win it. I just don't want to see them throwing feces at each other. That's a part of what I don't see.
Well, that's kind of what happened last year, right? We had two feral monkeys fighting each other last year, throwing feces, and Jazza had no
hope. I don't agree with that, but anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if we want to go into find out actually who the monkeys were, but... But if you're on the Australian World Cup team last year and you're not Jazza, you've got a 2 in 3 chance of it being you.
Hey, one thing I'm curious about, what do you guys actually do when you're not playing Magic? Like, PJX, are you studying still? Or?
No, I just work at the moment. I work at Tierra. But I'm looking going into uni pretty soon, so MFU.
Yes, right.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
And
I was shocked by your appearance at this GP PJX. I know I threw a bit of flack in your face saying you look like a heroin junkie, but fuck, you've come up well. Like, you've really put in the effort on your body and lost some weight. And not just lost weight, you're fucking tiny. You look like half a PJX that I remember.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, I just gymming and eating right, I guess, and it's all happening for me, so...
Sweet. That's how you win a GP. You go to the gym 5 times a day, you eat properly,
five times a day. That just seems stupid. Like, go once and just spend a longer time there. Like, why do you have to wait and come back?
I'll be back in half an hour.
I might have meant five times a week.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Isaac. Don't do an interview with Juzzer or something.
Oh, we've got one playing with Justin Robner.
And James, what about you? What do you do, sir?
I work in IT. I work with Zurich Insurance, so
that's
Zurich
pretty cool.
Financials. I work as a BA, so business analyst.
Cool. And how old are you?
Me? I'm 28. Between 27 and 28.
Okay, so you're in your early 20s when you qualified for your first tour.
Early 20s, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel about, you both started at Onslaught. You're now doing a full circle, and these Onslaught lands are back coming up in Cairns for Takar.
Pretty excited.
Yeah, I actually thought this was going to be, because I saw one of the preview cards, and it was like a morph, and I thought it was going to be a morph set, and I got really excited. Yeah, I don't think it's a morph set.
It's just a set with some morph cards in there.
Yeah, I really like morph. I don't know if you guys were playing back in Onslaught, but I found it really enjoyable trying to guess what they had, which morph was which and stuff.
I've not been watching the spoilers. Anything catch your eye? Like, is there anything for us to be excited about?
I'll tell you what I like. I like this, like, single Buddha cast O3 guy that you, like, pay green and one, sacrifice it to search your library for a basic land, put it in the play tapped.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that.
You got spoiled yesterday or in us?
Did you say one in a blue?
Single Buddha cast for an O3.
So it blocks and then you can fetch lands with it.
Yeah. So it's like a rampant growth on a dude. So you have to pay an extra blue.
Yeah. So it's like the enchantment. Yeah, it's like it's a Cure Tribe Elder and that's enchantment from land or something. You know that one out of.
Yeah.
Journey or whatever. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
Interesting in blue. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like blue control, like blue green, like.
Yeah.
Deck type thing.
I can see that definitely being played, yeah.
It means like it's a rampant growth that like you can late game it's not really shit because you can still
chump for a turn and
chump sack, yeah.
I liked Dean Villain Willem Suva's invitational card that got printed.
Villainous something.
Yeah, villainous wealth.
Yeah.
So what's that?
It's like green, black, blue, X, exile, X, target cards off opponent's library, and you can cast them without paying the mana cost.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Just wondering, would they go in Highlander Storm?
Well, I just need Dean to sign a foil one for me.
Yeah. The only card that I've really seen that takes my fancy is the new White Sun Zenith. I'm just hoping there's new Elish Norn with it. Have you seen that one?
The black one?
Yeah, the black one with Delve.
Black.
Yeah.
Like four black and
XX.
Yeah.
Is it four black or three black?
Four black.
I thought it was three black. Yeah, that might be a bit hard, but.
Urbog, you're right.
Yeah, true. But I like that. I just see that late game, end of turn. Pump it up, game over.
Did they come to play tap, though, for so much mana?
End of turn, who cares?
Yeah, but no, you can get his block or whatever.
There's nothing instant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but, you know...
It would not be good.
No. Well, I played the White Sun Zenith deck for a long time, had a lot of success with it, so I'm just hopefully, as I said, hopefully there's a pump to go with it, which at this stage only looks like Sorin, but...
There's no four-course Wrath.
No. So, you know, and again, at instant speed, you can play around the Wrath, so... that's all I've seen.
Isaac. I like the Charms, they're pretty cool.
Tell you what, something that I don't know, and is the names of these bloody shards.
Yeah, they're a bit.
Like, does anyone know any of them?
So, yeah, well, I know Timor, but I don't know what color it is because one of my players that comes in every 2 days keeps telling me how awesome Timor is and tells me about all the cards, but I'm not really sure what color shard it is.
I know there's Jeskai, which I believe they value cunning.
That's American, right?
Jessica. Yeah, American is now Jessica.
Well, okay. If you have a look at the games then Facebook page has them all listed, so I'll just open that.
And there's my child.
I'm still just going to call it, you know, Bug and Rug and Junk. They're just better names. Last Tuesday I went up to Newcastle. They played their very first Highlander proxy night. It was fantastic. We had 10 plays turn up for the first night. It was a lot of fun. I played a version of Storm, not JP Storm, but a similar version. Tyler Visser turned up with the same deck. He was the only player that beat me on the night. Loved it. So I'm really looking forward to playing some more Highlander in Newcastle. And if you live on the Central Coast or from the Newcastle area, make sure you get there on a Tuesday night. It's 75-card proxy. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Highlander, for lore.
Any Highlander in Western Australia?
No, we try to, but it just died off. But we're actually getting Modern and Legacy. It's sparking, you know, it's getting there. We're getting numbers for it now, so it's pretty exciting. It's growing. It's really good.
Sweet.
Well, good luck with it. Mm. One more thing that I'll mention as well is that Rob's MTG Auction's going strong. Three awesome moderators doing some awesome work there.
What happens when you get a drunk in your group, Rob?
I'm pretty sure we're going to have to just ban that drunk. He's very annoying.
If he keeps trolling us, people, if there is a drunk, a red-headed drunk, who comes onto the page and tells you that you have to bid at $1 increments, ignore him. He is not a mod.
I say if he does it again, I'm just going to ban him. I'm just going to straight up ban him.
Like, we'll have a little bit of leniency and give him a one-month ban, but yeah, I think he's been given his warning.
What I liked is people thought it was real and they just started doing it and following me. I'm like, Rob's trying to tell me off and in my messages it just says I'm above the law. I do what I want.
Yeah, and your response was priceless, Rangel.
I was pretty wasted.
I could tell when you said that. Let's just say that Rangel made a bit of an ass of himself. So,
well, thanks very much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we'll be following how you do at the Pro Tour.
Yes, it's Pro Tour DC as well, isn't it? But you're deferring it, Paul.
I am. Yeah, to Washington. Yeah. James has gone to Hawaii, Honolulu, and I'm going to the next one, which is in Washington. Which is the one Sam Loy won the PTQ.
Oh, and we did mention that. Salty Sam Loy won the PTQ.
That's why.
PTQ and he was still cranky about it because it wasn't the one he wanted.
Yeah.
Salty Sam. Can't even be happy he wins.
I won the wrong one.
That's why he was salty with that milkshake. Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm pro to a blast, Sam Loy.
He's currently homeless as well. And moving back to Melbourne.
Good one.
Old salt dog.
The question that I'm asking, though, when he gets back to Melbourne, I wonder how many people didn't even realise he left. Congratulations, semi-pro player Salty Sam Loy. But anyway, congratulations, boys. We look forward to hearing you on. Yeah, I'm jealous that you're on Hawaii. What a nice place.
Pre-release.
Woo!
Pre-release. Expecting to be one?
Yeah, hope so. We managed to get three because we did certain levels in time. So we're having a midnight, a 10 a.m. and a 3 p.m. And I know there's a train coming down with Gosford with a bunch of guys on it. Rob, you should have a look.
I saw that for the midnight one, but I'm an old man. I don't do midnight pre-releases. Never.
you can come down in the morning.
Yes, not an old man. There's been so many times where you're awake at 3 a.m. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's because I've already been to bed and I've woken up. And I'm, you know, feeling like a cup of tea or something, some morning brekkie.
it's like watching the soccer or something.
Wake up, just wake
picking
up.
His dog.
But I am looking forward to this. This could be my last pre-release in a while. So, but we'll talk about that next month.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you. Right. See you, boys.
Thanks,
see
guys.
See you, catch you later.
See you later.
Welcome to the Wizards of Oz for September 2014. I'm your host, Rob CJ, and tonight I'm joined by the one and only Stealer of Decks, Isaac Egan.
So, Isaac, how does it feel to be the most loved thief in Australia?
Man, that was so good. Like, I'm, like, talking to Rob because he's, like, he's destroyed, right? So I'm actually talking to him on Facebook saying, man, don't worry. Like, these things happen. You got to, like...
Back it up. Tell our listeners what happened. They don't know why you're talking.
Okay. Oh, basically, like... Rob,
this is Isaac's story.
Okay, sorry.
You just settle down.
So just like, the point will come about halfway through.
Okay.
And then I'll keep talking for another half a minute with useless shit. That's how these things work, all right? None of this, like, useful information. So basically, Rob loses his deck because he's lent it to Oliox. Oliox puts it down and then goes and grabs some pizza and then it disappears. Anyway, Rob's obviously pretty distraught because he's like, it's a fully pimped mono blue Highlander deck, like proper pimped. And I'm telling Rob basically like, don't worry, man, like, you know, we'll get Ollie to like replace it, and you know, just write a list of all the stuff that's missing, and you know, you got to like make sure to not let this affect, you know, the person that you are, because like that's, you know, very easy to happen. Like, you know, speaking as someone that's lost a lot of cards, and then. Whilst I'm, like, consoling him and stuff, I'm like, I'll just check my bag, just to make sure. And I open my bag, and fair enough, his deck box is in there. It was actually, like, it's a pretty unique deck box. Well, pretty unique. And I look down, there's two of the same deck box in my bag. And so I call him up and say, I found your deck. Like...
You know what you should have done? You should have been like, hey, man, your deck's been handed in.
I found it hilarious because I was actually playing the event, and we had the report, and Ryan Dare, being the cop that he is, you know, did some bag search, voluntary bag searches, and, you know, been asking people, and everyone was happy to comply and open their bags up. So we knew it wasn't one of the players, and you could see Ollie walking around. He's just walking around white as a ghost, and, you know, and people are talking about it, saying, you know, it's, you know, you should know better, that it's a big boy tournament. We're big boys. The deck's worth a lot of money. You know, there's going to be opportunists around. And, I went back to the hotel room and saw that Josh Butler had tweeted a post, you know, to say, not tweeted, but put a post on Facebook saying that, you know, Rob Lux lost his deck, please share this and we'll get it back. And, you know, so I shared it, and I noticed, you know, half an hour later that I get a notification that Isaac Egan's liked this post. And and then I go to sleep, and then I wake up in the morning, and then there's a comment there saying, that was me.
I got included in a message group for vendors that was like, hey, if anyone tries to hock you this stuff, just sort of keep an eye out. And I see, like, Grady, like, asking a heap of questions about it and, like, talking about it and stuff. I knew what it was, so I didn't reply, and I just left it there. And then I look at it, like, an hour later, and Isaac's like, I stole it.
The thing is, it's like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Championship deck box. Like, the thing is, like... It's, like, only available, like, to top 8 of this, I don't know, some tournament or whatever. And, like, both Rob and I use this deck box because we think it's a huge troll to have, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Championship deck box. So, like, what happened is, like, Ollie, like, I'm pretty sure that Ollie came up and it was chatting to me and pushed the deck box down in front of me. Now, either Ollie, like, turns around or something happens, but basically I've got my bag in front of me. And I look down, and there's a deck box that's like, you know, like nobody else has this deck box in Melbourne that plays Magic at least. Like, it's, yeah. So like, I'm like, oh, that's my deck. And just pick it up and put it in my bag. And then, yeah. It meant that Ollie had to drop from the Highlander event as well.
He literally went through drop.
You know what else happened? I put out my post, thank you to all the viewers that sent me their condolences, that my challenge trade binder had been stolen. And half an hour before the challenge ends on the Sunday night, Gary Wong comes over. Oh. Apparently, at the end of 9 rounds of Magic, when you're absolutely exhausted and don't know where you are, when a mate of yours asked, hey, that binder challenge you doing looks fun, can I have a go? You say, yeah, sure, and give them the binder, and then you leave without it. So I didn't actually have my binder stolen. I gave it to Gary.
Well, earlier in that day, before, like, that thing happened with me stealing the deck. I was basically like, you know, I go to pull my trade binder out, and I realize that my trade binder's not there. So I go up to Lost and Found and, you know, ask if a trade binder has been handed in. And fair enough, one has been. And what's happened is the guy has accidentally picked up my trade binder and left his trade binder. So he's assumed that whoever it was, you know, we just swapped folders. But the thing is, I didn't have a folder. Like, I just was down a folder. So it's Alex Keach. So Alex Keach is now, you know, just like, oh, well, if it's Isaac's folder, just give it to him, like, you know. And Keach is just distraught because, yeah, he had the dual lands in there and stuff. So he's just, like, completely shattered. And on top of that, he'd actually borrowed three of my fetch lands, and those three fetch lands in the folder. I told him, like, man, you know, if you don't find the folder, then you don't have to replace the fetch lands. It's fine. Like, you know, I'm just happy that I got my folder back. And then, like, 2 or 3 hours later, it turns out, yeah, he'd actually given his folder to his mate Omar and then just, like, turned around, seen my folder on the table and just picked it up and then walked off with it.
Isn't it great that we had all these stories of, like, you know, suspected thefts and stuff, but it didn't turn out that way. Sydney's great. Like, I even found a deck just laying around on the ground. I'd pick it up. It was a modern burn deck, you know, Arid Maces and full of stuff. Yeah, I handed that in. So, it's cool.
Mm. And then you got somebody robbing GG's Brisbane and somebody robbing Metagames and,
not Sydney, see?
Well, I was sort of shocked when I found out Brisbane doesn't have an alarm system because, like she said, I'll make sure you go and get an alarm system. I'm like, I got an alarm system before I brought my stock in. Like, I didn't bring a single piece of stock in here until the alarm was fitted.